Hey, this is Emily, the prickly pear of Warpaint.
Hi, this is Teresa, and if Emily's a prickly pear, I'm a prickly pear.
So let's see, we've got age 11, we've got 2004, we've got childhood friends, we've got projects solo and otherwise, we've got East LA, we've got records. See, it's over. I've now covered everything that everybody else covers, so there's nothing for us to talk about.
I've always, deep down, really wanted to be in advertising.
All right. 18 months on the road, and then, you know, all these possibilities of, like, I'll do this in the full announcement, not continuing the band. Duh. And then you say, we got some solo things. We'll make a record. That pretty much sums it up, but there's got to be more to it because, you know, you do go off, you go do other things. You know, I know you miss the camaraderie and all of that, but you also kind of made a fresh thing here to a certain extent. It did come out differently than the other stuff. So what do you attribute that to, if anything?
Well, I think we were all really turning new pages within ourselves musically and had been doing a lot of experimenting and inside the box, you know, in the computers, on our own, just,
I don't know,
in the box, outside the Warpaint box, in the personal Apple computer box. and basically just like, I don't know, exploring different ways that we all like to make music. And so we brought that, I think we were very excited to do that with this album and just reimagine Warpaint a bit.
It also felt like the path of least resistance at this point, where we've always worked really hard and tirelessly, especially being like creators through jamming and through writing songs together, you know, in real time. So it was like, well, this is kind of an experiment, and maybe at this point, being the band this long, an experiment is, you know, just what the doctor ordered in order for us to like reinvigorate the process that we've been in. And I think that actually really did work. And it made it tricked us in a way, because we didn't have any past experience or roles or identification with that process. So it was really spontaneous, and it wasn't like kind of getting in the same groove necessarily that maybe we would fall into. Jen starts with the bass line, and then, or, you know, these things that you find yourself falling into what you guys do together. So to kind of make it a different band within the same band, that was exciting for all of us.
What was a moment that was really, like, either euphoric or really scary about it? Because I can't imagine that you're doing it, and experiments are really the greatest thing until you go, I don't have the key to get out of jail, and now I've got this thing.
I guess one thing that was scary was writing songs and deciding to offer them to the band instead of keep them for yourself, where you can like do whatever you want with nobody's, you know, influence necessarily, and just kind of coming down to this idea that it would be nice to expand those songs and let them into the four-headed mentality.
Yeah,
but that was really scary. That really was scary, but it came out good.
I think when we're experimenting and pushing the envelope, it's always a little freaky to bring it to the others, and especially if it's something, say, that I've done that's maybe different than what Warpaint has ever done, but I really love it, and just the idea of it being rejected or people not loving it as much as I do, and, you know, especially when you're maybe the opposite of what Emily's saying, like, there was a song, By Your Side, for that song, I was very excited to bring it to everybody because I actually really wanted to hear, I wanted everyone to expand on it, and I was afraid that they'd be like, that's not a top priority right now, because that doesn't seem right, that doesn't seem us, like, well, yeah, that's cool, but, like, let's work on it. I just thought it was
a surprise, too, right, is that everybody was more open to moving.
Yeah, and then there was a surprise there, too, and also, like, real glory moment, too, was when, I remember when I finally finished guitars for The Stall, which had existed already as an incredible song without me, because the other three wrote it first. I was really scared to put guitar on, and when it worked, it was a glorious moment.
A great segue to the concept of pop songs. the definition of a pop song is that it has to be, you know, generally a female vocalist, or it has to have all of these different riffs that work really well.
Yeah, and tired and true.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's the point, is that you somehow figured out on this record, I think, what a pop song is. Do you think you did? I think you did.
I do. I think that's harnessing elements that are, like Emily said, tried and true. But they're not tired.
Is that a palindrome officially?
No. Palindrome? No. No, it's not a palindrome. Come on.
It was a trick.
it's a play on a phrase.
A Freudian, a poppindrome.
No, there's certain elements that are really just what people love to, I don't know, what I think really succeeds in music for a reason, like hooks and repetition and groove. And I mean, repetition is like probably the biggest one, though, you know. And it's like, that doesn't have to be a
bad. Or a little thing called hooks, you know. Hooks are, yeah, hooks are not evil. I love hooks.
Well, A, B, C, A, D, or whatever, you know, like the formula. And War Paint has always been A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever.
Because you're an indie band.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because we're a jamming band too, so we feel our songs as we write them through to the next part. Then what about if we would go here? And then what if we go here when we were all in the box at home or whatever? We're like, hey, part A, let's go back to this verse. We got more structural in our individual processes.
It's a good thing. Plus, indie's going pop, didn't you know?
Don't you know? Oh, I think that was like Vampire Weekend started that, man.
Yeah, man, and they...
Label mates.
Our label mates. They're probably the reason we have any money coming from our label, because they made a lot of money for our label.
I'm already bored with this, so I'm going to try to see how we can approach it in a different way. New song, okay, so I'm going to fill in the blanks. It was an assignment from your manager, right? Kind of. And it was also based kind of on Daft Punk, kind of. But I want to go a different way, or see if we can go a different way, which is, what motivates a manager?
That's a really good question, actually. It's giving context to the whole... It's giving context to the whole thing, which is that we actually have... Well, he's a musician himself, and we actually have conversations with him all the time about, you know, music in general. And it's an exercise that doesn't just get given to you from a manager who's like, I want a hit, so here, try this. Try to make something that is definitely
going to make you money.
It's going to make you money and going to be on the radio. It's more like we have conversations all the time where it's like, we're pretty left of pop structure, right? We all know this about War Paint. And so it's actually a stretch for us to go into the ideas of pop structure. And it's something that we were intrigued to do because we are, because we want to expand upon what we can do. And that's not just to make money, you know. It's like, it's just purely because we do like and listen to pop music as well. So, but anyway, it's, out of that conversation was bred this thing. It wasn't, you know.
He says things like this to us all the time. He's like, please, you know, try experimenting, do things to be proficient and prolific, and to keep working when you guys are taking breaks, because sometimes we get tired. We do a lot of work together, so he's just kind of trying to grease the wheels for us all to be.
He understands the concept that artists get really bored really fast if they're not doing something new and different.
Yeah, or they can, maybe now they're not getting bored, but they can lose inspiration, or, you know, it's important to change.
Exercise. It was really more an exercise in doing something because we were inspired by something we liked. Like, he gave us all, pick three songs that you love, narrow it down to one, and try coming up with a song that gives you that feeling. It wasn't make a pop song.
And then you pick a song, and then next thing you know, you get a dance anthem, right? You know, boom, there you are.
I'm really glad you asked that question, though, because out of context, it does seem a little weird. And so, because that song wasn't working for a little while internally, there was some like struggles with how it was going to go and which direction it was going to go in. We kind of shelved it, and it had gotten to a really great spot, but we, just because it wasn't working for us and how we feel together, we kind of put it aside. And it took other people being like, listen, that's something really, yeah, but it was like, it took Jake being like, you guys, you have to do this, kind of thing.
Jake, I go, Jake, you have to tell You have to tell them we have to do it.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, I thought it was a... But yes, he was... Well, he heard it and instantly was like, where has this been hiding?
I like this. It's like you guys are good friends for a while or something, this discussion.
Yeah, but it's like... A little bit. It just kind of shows you how much we're not really looking for that thing. Yeah.
And that gets down to the producer. There's a great quote from one of you that you know, it was a safety zone for you then, but then it sometimes became torture for him, and he had no idea that he was going to be cutting things the way he was going to have to cut them. So that's kind of interesting because he was probably like, oh, good, and then,
I think he was more just, he was so invested in making sure that everything was moving and flowing, especially because the way that we were kind of making things, we didn't have this urgency in a certain kind of way that he did with the process. So he would take it home and he would work on things and show it to us, and sometimes we liked it and sometimes we didn't or whatever, but he really didn't take a day off, and that's not really true for all of us. Him and a combination of 1 to 4 of us every day.
That's his personality too. He would go and he would tweak a lot of things that, like, that, yeah, wouldn't work and like would be undone or whatever, and he didn't need to be or whatever. He just chooses to do that all the time as well.
Producer and martyr, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I mean,
he's the greatest guy in the world.
We're citizens of the U.S. and audiences in the U.S. versus audiences in the U.K. and Europe and other places. You've gone on record as saying, and I totally agree, that what is it with us Americans? Why is it that, you know, you do bands like Warpaint do break in the U.K. bigger than they do here? Is it something in the water? What do you think it is?
Something in the pop and then the mainstream of art. Well, also there's something about the fact that the UK is quite small. You know,
300,000 records to get a gold record, yeah.
Yeah, but you do also have this kind of influence in this country that does, I would say, even something about the pop music radio stations is kind of a dumbing down of being open to music that doesn't fit into the format of the mainstream, and so people are a little less naturally receptive to it. And it's really rainy in the UK, and I think that puts people more internally in their heads and more receptive to art and music.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside and then songs by others in between.